next is the gospel reading from St. Luke. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Here ends the text. Isaiah 45 verse 15 speaks of the God who hides himself. It is not surprising that God in his majesty should hide himself, but that's not who Isaiah speaks of. He says, "Truly thou art a God who hides himself, O God of Israel, Savior." It's the Savior, our Jesus, who hides himself sometimes. Our text shows us what happens when he does. The God who hides himself surprises us. He surprises us in the very fact that he hides himself. Our text says that the Emmaus disciples were kept from recognizing him. Mark 16 says of them, he appeared in a different form. Why would Jesus do this? Well, why does Jesus let Mary Magdalene think he's a gardener? Why does he let her look straight at him and not see him? Why don't the disciples on the after Easter fishing trip fail to recognize, why don't they recognize Jesus standing on the beach? Our God hides himself till we're ready to see him. Of course, we always think we're ready to see him, so even the reason he hides himself is hidden from us. Our text takes place Easter evening. Two disciples of Jesus are returning home from Jerusalem. Perhaps their husband and wife. They're sad and dejected. You heard what they said. "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But the betrayal by the church leaders, the crucifixion by the state, changed all that. Their Redeemer, their Savior, was hidden by suffering and death. Despite the women finding his grave empty, despite angels saying he was alive, despite some apostles confirming the tomb was empty, they no longer hoped in Jesus for redemption. Here is where the God who hides himself surprises us. He is still present in the sad, dark, unbelieving moments. Their Jesus, their Savior and Redeemer, whom they have given up on, hasn't given up on them. This is true for us too. Though we can't find, see, feel, or even believe him to be present in our saddest, darkest moments, Though suffering and death in our life make our hope in Him a thing of the past, Jesus remains present. Another surprising thing is that when our Savior hides Himself, He humbles Himself. To Mary, He's willing to appear as a lowly gardener. To the fishing disciples, He's willing to appear as a nosy person needing some food. To the Emmaus disciples, He who knows all is willing to appear as if He knows nothing at all. The hidden Savior asks the disciples who are discussing His betrayal, His arrest, His several trials, His crucifixion, His empty tomb. He asks them, "What are you discussing as you walk?" He asked Mary at the tomb, "Why are you crying?" Though He knows why. He asked the fishless disciples, "Haven't you any fish?" Though He knows they don't. Do you think your Redeemer and Savior is any different with you? When He hides Himself behind a veil of suffering and death, when He appears to be very far away from you, He is inviting you to pray with, "Why are you crying? What is wrong? What's bothering you?" He who knows the answer to all of these questions asks you to answer them. Even though His name is holy, His will is done, His kingdom comes without your prayers, He tells you to pray for these. Even though He knows we need daily bread, rescue from temptation, and deliverance from evil, still He tells us to ask for them. Such praying, such talking, such rehearsing of what everyone already knows is usually painful. But it's needed, isn't it? After a death, after a tragedy, after a traumatic experience, a person needs to speak of it again and again. He or she has got to get it out of them. As an emetic gets a poison out of the body, so prayer gets the poison of hopelessness, despair, and unbelief out of the soul. And it's when our Savior hides Himself that we pray. It's when our Savior hides Himself that we call out for Him. You call for someone you don't see near you. You call for someone who doesn't seem around. Our God, our Savior and Redeemer, hides Himself so we might call in prayer and bring out what is poisoning our soul. The God who hides Himself surprises us, but He also instructs us. You can see the Emmaus disciples struggling with what just has happened. They can't piece it all together, though they're trying. They are literally throwing the events back and forth between them as they walk. Maybe this is what it means, but what about that? Then it might be this. Suffering and death, tragedy or affliction in your life are subject to an infinite number of interpretations. And your interpretation is going to be based on your mood, your personality, your sin, your guilt, your fears, your worries. In the gloaming, in the shadows, in those times when you neither see nor sense your Savior, He is there and He's still speaking. He doesn't speak definitively in what you or others think, feel, or can believe. And He doesn't speak for you in what's going on in your life. No, He speaks for you in His Word. Notice in the text, through prayer, Jesus first lets them get out all the poison in their souls. Then He speaks. And He refers to Moses and the prophets. That's the whole Old Testament, the full extent of the Scriptures at the time, but with specific reference to what they said about Himself, the Christ. The Word of God that you need in the twilight, in the dark night of suffering and pain, is not a general word about the power of God, the might of God, or the majesty of God. What you need is the Christ of God. You need to hear of the Word made flesh. You don't need guideposts which assure you everything works out without mentioning Christ. You don't need to hear that your life is to be driven by God's purpose or that God wants you healthy, happy, and successful. Such words from God, they might leave your heart burning, even as the words of Jesus did the Emmaus disciples. But they won't lead you to knowing God in the breaking of bread or back to church, where you can get communion as the Emmaus disciples were led. No, words not centered on Christ lead you back to yourself and what you can do. The God who hides himself instructs us, and that by leaving us. All translations get this wrong. Jesus does not act as if he's going farther. He would have gone further had they not asked him to stay. Jesus is not a rancher. He's a shepherd. He's not a salesman, but a savior. He leads, not drives sheep. He saves, not sells. If the word that speaks about him is not enough for you, he goes. He tells you only a wicked and sin unfaithful person asks for a sign from him. If you say, well, I want Jesus to stay if he'll just do this, then Jesus goes. If you require the God who hides himself to do miracles so you can find him, then rest assured he will remain hidden from you as he was from King Herod. But the God who hides himself not only surprises us, not only instructs us, he does reveal himself. The mystery is that the Savior who hides himself under suffering and death reveals himself there. The Emmaus disciples think his suffering and death were proof that he couldn't redeem them, when it was proof that he was their redeemer. The Christ had to suffer these things to enter his glory of being our Savior. The betrayal, torture, crucifying, and dying weren't the plan gone bad. They were the plan. And Jesus had told them so beforehand, but they hadn't listened. Are you? To redeem sinners, Jesus had to take our place. We cannot fulfill God's laws. Jesus could and did it in our place. God is satisfied. But what about all those times we fall short of God's laws? What about the doubts? What about the despair? What about the unbelief that percolates in our hearts? What about the greed? What about the lust? What about the discontent that's always ebbing and flowing in our minds? These make us property of sin, death, and the devil. The person who sins is a slave to sin, says St. Paul in Romans. Death is the pay even one sin earns. And based on God's promise that people who sin must die, the devil has a right to your soul. To redeem mankind from sin, death, and the devil, not only would all of God's laws have to be kept, but our sins paid for and our death died. If our sins are paid for and our death died, on what basis can the devil make his claim on us? If each drop of Jesus' blood, sweat, and tears covered one of your sins till they were all covered, show me one sin of yours that Jesus did not pay for. If Jesus died your death already, how can the devil claim you must die too? You cannot die the death of a sinner or go to the hell as a sinner should, because Jesus has been there and done that in your place. God's word reveals in Jesus' suffering and death your God and Savior. It also reveals that when suffering and death do come to you, they cannot be for payment for your sins or to show you God forsakes you because of your sins. No, Jesus suffered and died forsaken as payment for your sins, so you can enter his glory. The Savior God who hides himself in, with, and under suffering and death reveals himself, not just in words, but in sacraments. The words Jesus spoke of him redeeming them by suffering made their hearts burn. But what opened their eyes was Jesus doing the sacramental actions of taking bread, giving thanks, breaking it, and giving it to them. You will not find your Savior God hiding in your visions, your dreams, your moods, your feelings, or opinions. He hides himself in waters that don't move but are living. He hides himself in words spoken by a man, but from God in heaven. He hides himself in bread that is his body given for us, in wine that is his blood shed for us. Don't look for the resurrection of your dead hopes or dead body in your heart or body, but in his resurrected one. Don't look for the life of the world to come in shadows, in suffering, in the sadnesses of this life. Look for it in the one who declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." This one reveals that he abides with us in darkness, pain, and grief. Even though we stray, he does not. We return to our Bibles, he is there. We return to the font, he is there. We return to the altar, he is there. We return to the church as the Emmaus disciples did, and lo and behold, we find what they did. Jesus is here ahead of us. Truly, our Savior God hides himself. But not only do we know where he is hiding, but he hides in plain sight. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.